Well, 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 hello there again, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew would like to thank you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, October 18th, 2014, and this is your best MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Yes, folks, we are back again, as promised. Let's get things rolling here tonight by allowing me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program, which is happening in the spooky week of October, and he just so happens to be Mad Max Crawford. Yes, that crazy Canuck from up there in the Badlands of Canada, the land of the Maple Leaf, and all that other Canadian good stuff. We were able to get him into the studio so that he can lay down some hot tracks for you tonight. If everyone could just please sit back, grab those cold drinks and spicy snacks, and enjoy the program. Mad Max, be easy on them. The microphone is yours.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only Maxwell welcoming you to Michael's Saturday Surprise for October the 18th, 2014. Today's theme is Hell and its powers. Well, well, let's begin with our first show. From the Devil and Mr. O, it's Mr. Big Little. It's aired on November the 12th, 1971.
Lights out for the Devil and Mr. O. Supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly so that if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now. This is Mr. O. Arch Obler. The world, as you know, is full of small people trying to be large and large people trying to be humble. You've met them at school, at work, in public office, or handing out licenses at City Hall. Well, I bring you a play now titled, by a coincidence, Big Mr. Little. And whether you're king of the hill at the moment or at the bottom of the hill trying to scramble up, I think you'll remember Big Mr. Little. But that happens after a word from your announcer.
Inner Sanctum Mystery.
Hello, this is your host, welcoming you through the squeaking door. Not for a half hour of terror, but to tell you about Radio Nostalgia Magazine. Radio Nostalgia Magazine is a must for old-time radio fans. It's the magazine with many photos and stories of old-time radio and its stars. Our current issue features a 16-page article on The Shadow. All subscribers will get a free Captain Midnight decoder badge, a Captain Midnight flight patrol membership, and a flight commander certificate from the Secret Squadron. To get your copy, send $1.50 in check or money order to Radio Nostalgia, Box 8007R, Union City, New Jersey, 07087. That's Radio Nostalgia, Box 8007R, Union City, New Jersey, zip 07087. Send now and get a free 8x10 photo of the Lone Ranger and Tonto, boys and girls.
And now, if you haven't already done so, turn off your lights now and listen to Big Mr. Little.
Hello, police head, police department. My name is Charles Krager. Dr. Charles Krager. I live at 872 West Street, apartment 2B. I want you to come and get me. I have just killed a man. Jay Drogan. Did you hear me? I said, come and get me. I just killed a man. His name was...
I'm willing to bet on it. I'm telling you, sir, my name is Jay Drogan. I'm going to drink this.
Jay, forget it, will you? You better lie down and get some rest.
Let me lie. Take your hands off me. I said I was going to drink this mess, and I'm going to drink it. Right out of the cocktail shaker.
What are you doing? He's really drinking it.
Holy cats, look at him.
Oh, boy. Oh, that was terrific.
How did it taste?
Wonderful.
Jay!
He's sick.
No, I'm all right. Hot in here. Window open.
The windows. Who broke all the windows?
Ooh. My head. Oh, what time? 9. I've got to get up. Get to work.
Oh. Ooh.
Oh. Huh? All dressed. Bed in my clothes. Put me to bed. Oh, doesn't matter.
Oh, all right. All right.
Hello, Jay Drogan speaking.
Who?
Oh, yeah. Hello, friend.
Sure, I'm coming down to the office. Party? All right. A man got to have some fun once in a while, can't he? I got to wash up. All right, I'll be down here. Goodbye.
Son of a... Where's my hat? Well... What? Windows broken? Some party. Tell superintendent get windows fixed. Wonder what... Oh, well. Better get to the office. Good thing building has an elevator. Couldn't walk downstairs.
Good morning there, Mr. Drogan.
Oh, hello, Mr. Jensen.
What
the devil's the matter with this elevator? I've been punching this button for 5 minutes.
Well, it takes time for it to come down when it's up on the top floor.
It's always going wrong, that elevator. I wish that blasted thing would fall through the basement.
Hey, it's falling. It fell. Just like you said.
Oh, then, Drogan, sit down. Sit down. Thank you, Doctor. It was good of you to see me without an appointment.
Well, you seem to be in quite a state. What is it?
It's my head.
You injured it?
No, I don't think so. You see, I had a little party at my house last night. Oh, my head.
Well, never mind. Well, this certainly is the morning after the night before. Go over to the window and let me look at you.
Yes, Doctor. It's my head, Doctor. Every sound...
It's just the morning after.
But every sound... That blasted airplane up there, it's so loud in my head,
no,
Doctor.
No, don't get excited.
Why does that infernal pilot have to fly so low? Blast you up there, why don't you crack up?
Look. He's falling.
Falling?
What you said, Drogan, really happened.
Step back now. Keep away.
All right, Drogan, we better be moving on.
Yeah.
You don't come back to my office, and I'll give you a sedative, and you lie down and rest a little while, and then you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Coincidences. That's nothing. That's all it was. Nothing more.
Watch out, man. Watch out where you're walking.
It's okay, Doc.
Okay.
Now we can cross. Hey, you! How do you like that guy? Blasted cabs, they think they own the street. If I had my way, I'd smash them all up. Doc! Doc!
It's happened again. Drink this.
No.
I tell you, drink this.
I don't want to.
It isn't what you want to do. It's a sedative. Now, drink it.
Putting me to sleep for a little while is no help.
Last night. Think about last night. Perhaps you, drank something out of the ordinary. Well, why do you look at me like that?
I did.
What?
That drink, I just remember.
Tell me.
But that couldn't be it.
Tell me.
Well, we got to kidding about who could mix the most unusual drinks, and I was feeling high, and I mixed one.
Well, what was in the drink?
I don't know.
Well, you must know. If I knew what was in the drink, perhaps some chemical... wait a minute. Where do you think you're going?
To the office.
Well, what?
Fred, my business. I've got to...
No. You're completely out of your head. You're a menace, a walking danger. Don't you realize that you can't go out of here until we figure this out, some way to stop it? If you don't, every time you say a negative thought, it'll happen and someone will die. Do you want that? What's the matter with you? Why should you laugh? Stop it. Stop it.
Well, it's funny. I go to see my doctor because I'm going out of my head, and he goes out of his head.
But what happened to you that all of a sudden
I
you should...
You said that I was a menace. And when you said that, all at once, everything cleared up.
What?
Yeah. Me, a menace. That's the funniest thing anybody ever said about me. Look at me. No hair, half my teeth aren't my own, I've cut a pot belly, and I'm a menace. Yeah, you, a doctor who's supposed to judge things only by facts, suddenly decide I'm a menace.
Why?
Because three screwy things happened that I had nothing to do with. And I had nothing to do with. Coincidences. Like getting four aces two times running, or rolling 725 times in a row, or anything else where two and two doesn't add up to four. That elevator would have fallen anyway, and that plane, so his motor cut out just when I said it. And the cabs... We were both so scared that we ran off without finding out whether or not there was a good reason why three cabs smashed up. Sure, cabs have accidents all the time. So, well, does that make me a menace? I ask you. Is that the way for a doctor to talk?
Well, I'm sorry. Of course you're right. I've been talking like an emotional moron. Funny, isn't it? I'm the man who has always evaluated situations through factual evidence. And even then, I've retained some measure of skepticism because I know how misleading human observation can be. Trogan, would you mind shaking hands with a blasted fool?
Sure, Doc. And you're shaking hands with one, too. Now, if you don't mind, can I use your telephone?
Sure. Of course, of course.
I've got to call my office, explain why I'm late. Oh, it's had me scared for a while. Hello. Hello, that you, Fred? Yes, I'm on my way in. But I tell you, I'll be there in a few minutes. But I'm telling you. I know, but I'm coming. Oh, stop yelling at me. Why don't you drop dead? Fred. Hey, Fred.
What's the matter?
Why, I don't know. One minute I was talking to him, and then... Fred, answer me. No, it can't be. You're lying. Hello? Hello?
Drogan, what is it? Tell me.
Someone said Fred just dropped dead.
We leave our The Devil and Mr. O story of Big Mr. Little to take a deep breath and a word from your station.
Can you use $10,000 cash? Well, New Jersey homeowners can borrow up to $10,000 or even more. How? Your home is sure to be worth more today than when you bought it. The present resale value of your house, less the amount you owe on your mortgage, is your equity. And that equity gives you power. Power to borrow up to $10,000 or more through Provident Investment Corporation. You can use the money for a business investment, consolidation of debts, home improvements, purchase of a car, new furniture, college expenses, or even a wonderful vacation trip. And payments can be stretched out over many years, small enough to fit your budget. So if you are a New Jersey homeowner, call 488-3030 anytime, day or night. That's 488-3030. All information by phone, just one visit to our offices to pick up your check. So call 488-3030. That's 488-3030.
And now back to our The Devil and Mr. O story of Big Mr. Little.
What time is it, Doctor?
1.
I can't just sit here.
No. You're my responsibility. I've got to think something out.
I just can't keep on not thinking anything.
Great Godfrey.
What?
What's the matter with me? You can perform miracles. I'm convinced of that. All right. Then why in the name of common sense can't you perform positive miracles instead of negative ones?
I don't understand.
Listen to me. It's simple. It's so simple that neither one of us thought of it. Just as you can kill people and cause accidents, why can't you do good?
Good?
Heal the sick. Give eyes to the blind. But when it comes to killing, kill the ones who should be killed.
Well, that's right. Maybe I could do that.
Well, wait a minute. It's all clear now. Every miracle that you performed today was a negative miracle. The falling elevator, the airplane, the taxis, your friend. Everything negative. You haven't performed a single positive miracle. Not a miracle for good instead of evil.
Well,
come with me.
Where?
Out into the street again. Come on, Drogon. We've got to find out if you can perform a good miracle just as easily as performing the other kind. And if you can, well, you'll start making history in a few minutes, Mr. Drogon. Now, Drogon, now.
What?
On the corner, the newsman. He's blind.
Well,
don't be stupid. We'll go over to him.
Faber? Paper, get your paper.
Hello, Tom.
That you, Doctor?
Yes, give me a magazine. Well, anyone will do.
Yes, sir.
Wish it, Drogon. Wish that he could see.
I am.
Hey, Doctor. How have you been?
Oh, never mind about me. How about you?
Huh?
How about your eyes?
Are you kidding?
Drogon, out loud. You've got to say it out loud.
Hey, Doc, what's the matter?
Say it.
I wish that he could see.
Hey. What's going on here?
Tom, you see. You do see.
What's the matter with you, Doc?
You can see.
Let me alone, will you? What are you trying to do? What are you after?
Can you see?
Oh, I can't see. Get the devil away from here. I can't see.
All right, Drogon. Come on.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Whatever you want to do that's good doesn't happen. But whatever you say that's evil happens. God help you, Drogon. Well, I know what you've been... Just go in. Well, have a good sleep, friend Drogon.
Yeah. Why did I fall asleep?
A sedative I gave you.
Oh.
Drogon, I want you to meet my wife.
How do you do?
Oh, well, it's a pleasure, Mrs. Craker.
Yeah, let me give you a hand.
No. I'm all right.
Yeah, of course. Drogon, I've told the entire story to my wife. She's clear-headed about this. I'll let her tell you what she thinks. Go ahead, Anne.
Mr. Drogon, Charles thinks you're a menace to humanity. I don't think so. I think the danger to others is... not through you, but through somebody else. You don't know what I mean. Well, that's understandable. I mean, you wouldn't willfully hurt anyone. But what if someone forced you to? What if your ability to perform miracles...
Evil miracles?
Yes, evil miracles, was discovered by some criminal? He would force you to do what he wanted, at no risk to himself, because since the criminal was performing an evil act, you couldn't hurt him.
In other words, Drogon, someone could use you for criminal purposes. Yes, blackmail the world because you thought he could kill anyone in the world.
You haven't said anything, Mr. Drogon. You do understand?
Yes, I understand. What do you expect me to do about it?
We don't expect you to do anything. The responsibility is beyond you or us. Whatever happens is up to the proper authorities.
Authorities? My wife means that what we must do is to tell the authorities of what happened.
It's a wonderful idea.
Drogon, I'm proud of you.
A wonderful idea.
Yes, of course, but why do you keep on saying that?
You gave me a wonderful idea.
But that's not important now. We've got to go to the authorities. All of us.
No.
Why should you say no?
I'm not going anywhere. Neither are you.
What?
Charles, why should he say...
Wait. What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm not going anyplace, or are you?
What do you mean?
Sit down.
What the devil for?
Sit down.
No, I don't see what...
Doctor, I let you talk. Now let me. Well, in my own way, I figured out the world a long time ago. And that's why I was satisfied. Now, you see, it's like this. Some people are born with more than other people. One man has more brains, so he's an Einstein. Another fellow's born with good looks, so he's a movie star like that Taylor fellow. Another has muscles that work better, so he's a Joe Louis. Another one's got more energy, so he's an Edison. Most people are born with just enough brains and muscles to get along in a plain, ordinary life, like me. I knew that. So I was satisfied. Then this happened to me. All at once, all I've got to do is say something, and then it happens. Not good things, we found that out, but whatever I say that's wrong happens. I can do what anybody else in the world would like to do, we can't do. No army or navy or air force. I can say that somebody should die or that something should burn or break or fall, and it happens. You know, at first it was the same for me as for you, Doctor. I couldn't believe it was really so. Then while I was lying here, I heard you and your wife talking, and I began to figure things out. And you both gave me the real idea. Dempsey and Joe Louis and Tunney and those fellas who had better muscles made themselves millions. So did Edison and Ford and Chrysler and the rest of them who had brains. Now, I had something. Why shouldn't I get paid off, too?
Paid off?
That's right.
How?
You said it before.
What?
I think you call it blackmail.
Charles!
The way you both look at me, you'd think I'd said something you hadn't said before yourself. Anybody that's any good to the world, I can kill. All right. There's people get paid off in this world for not letting other people starve, so I'll get paid off for not making people die.
That's a pretty bad joke.
Joke? No.
Of course you're joking.
No.
You don't mean that.
Sit down, Doctor. Doctor, I said for you to sit down.
Don't you order me around. Now stop this nonsense and...
Oh.
I brought you some tea, Mrs. Crager.
Thank you, Frederick. Just put the tray
Wait
down.
Wait a minute. Take that tray out of here. Go ahead, take it out.
But I take orders only from Mrs. Crager.
Is that so? Well, why don't you die?
Frederick!
He's dead, isn't he, Doctor?
Yes.
So you see, it isn't nonsense.
You devil, you.
Well, up to now, it's always been plain Sam.
I never thought that you...
That's just it. You should never underestimate a little man, now should you?
Charles, do you hear me? Call the police.
He hears you, but he won't do anything about it, will
Charles,
you,
Charles, don't just sit there. This man is a murderer. He killed
Doctor,
Frederick.
Your
you
wife is talking a little too much,
why
isn't she?
There, won't you please?
Roger, do you hear me? I suggest you tell your
you
wife to
me?
Shut her mouth.
Charles,
or maybe
you
you'd like me to say
something
to her, the words
you
I said about
me?
The
I'm
servant.
You, call the
Suppose
police.
I said, Mrs. Crager, I wish
no.
you...
Sir! Stop!
Will you please do something
And stop it. Stop! You hear me? Stop. Now, you'll be all right, dear. You'll be all right.
Of course it will, as long as we're sensible about this. Now then, what is my plan? Well, very simply this. You and your wife are going to help me get everything in the world that I want. Yes, everything. What I tell you to do, you will do. Letters. I will decide on three influential gentlemen in our government, three wealthy gentlemen in industry to whom you will send letters explaining about me. Now, they won't believe, but at the time I tell them to, they'll die, and the newspapers will know about it. And after that, everyone will believe me, now won't they? And so as not to die, everyone will do exactly as I want, won't they? Because they won't have any choice in the matter. They send soldiers against me. I'll wish that they'll be dead, and they will be dead. And soon from Washington to London to Moscow, everyone will be doing exactly what Sam Drogon wants them to do. And that'll be wonderful, won't it? All the good people of the world doing exactly what one little man wants them to do. Well, you haven't said anything, Doctor. You understand what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes. It was inevitable.
Of course, I won't want you and your wife to leave here. Now then, we'd better have this man's body removed, and then we'd better get to work. Or have you any suggestions?
Do you mind if I have a drink?
Drink? Not at all. Not at all. A drink started all this, didn't it? Go right ahead, Doctor.
Thank you.
And you, Mrs. Krager, you're quite all right now, aren't you? Yes, I'm sure you are, the way you sit there looking at me. You and your husband will do exactly as I say because you're both good people and I'm death to good people. And you know that now, don't you?
Yes, I'm sure my wife knows that. Your drink.
Oh, yes. Oh, and quite a full one. Thank you, Doctor. I drink to your continued good health. Well, a strong one and a good one. Thank you, Doctor.
What? Drink? Oh, my throat. You put... No, wouldn't dare. I'll kill...
Charles, what did you...
Kill...
Charles, he's going to...
Wait.
I wish you...
Charles!
Both were...
Charles. You killed...
Yes. Poison worked more slowly than should have. But it worked. Drogon, you made one mistake. You should never underestimate what good people can do. If they have to.
This is Mr. O, Arch Obler. Let me tell you about next week's package of thrills and chills and blood and ideas. It's a story about... but more of that after a word from your station.
Cross your fingers and hope. That's what gambling's all about. Some things no sensible person gambles with is his life. Every year, thousands of Americans die because they haven't learned the warning signs of heart attack. Learn these facts. The usual warning signs of heart attack are prolonged heavy pressure, or squeezing pain in the center of the chest, behind the breastbone. The pain may spread to the shoulder, the arm, the neck, or the jaw. Sweating may occur, nausea, vomiting, or shortness of breath. If you or anyone you know experience these symptoms, call the doctor at once. If you can't reach him, get to the emergency room of the nearest hospital. For more information on the warning signs of heart attack, get in touch with your heart association. Public service announcement from the Essex County Heart Association and WVNJ.
This is Mr. O again. Revenge. It's a very dynamic word. When one is young, one is full of, quote, getting even, unquote. But As one grows more mature, one discovers that revenge is a very empty bubble. Unless, like the character in my next week's play, No Escape, that revenge reaches into the graveyard.
That was The Devil and Mr. O, Mr. Big Little, as aired on November the 12th, 1971. And now it's time for another show, Nightfall, and the title of the story is The Book of Hell, as aired on March the 27th, 1981.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight, we'll be a little more literate than usual to give you the inside story of a manuscript they're just dying to get into print. The play from the pen of Maver Moore is called The Book of Hell.
I don't care if it's the deepest book since Kafka, Andy. It still won't sell.
I had hoped for more important considerations than sales.
There isn't a publisher in the country who'd touch it.
Yeah, but Gordon...
The book industry's broke, for God's sake. We're putting chicory in the office coffee.
Surely it would sell a few thousand.
Violent sells. Sex. Weird religion. Put them together and you clean up.
Clean up? Odd expression for publishing garbage.
Yeah, you find it all in the Bible.
Yeah, in Dante and Shakespeare, I know.
So get your academic ass off that high horse.
I'm talking about a highly relevant piece of work, Gordon. A penetrating look at Western society that warns us where we're headed.
I can tell you where you're headed.
Agrees with me that it's the most...
Out. You want to work here, you work to my rules, Professor. Or you go back to the cloister you came from.
Oh. Sure, Gordon, sure. But you are losing one of the most remarkable manuscripts...
Editors that... are for editing. Presidents... or for calling the shots. Now, you and Linda better get that straight.
Andy? God, have I got something for
us? Oh, hi, Linda. Just let me get my caffeine chaser. Another clobbering by the boss.
I am flying. Listen, last night...
Let me brace myself. All right, what happened?
I got a manuscript from A.J. Yanofsky.
Want a coffee?
Love some.
One copy, black as Gordon's soul.
Thanks. I read it last night. Andrew, you would not believe.
I didn't know Yanofsky was still alive.
Hibernating in Mexico.
Long winter.
12 years.
There were rumors, right?
Uh-huh.
He was on the lam from the drug squad? No, he was murdered. No, he murdered someone. He's a Nazi doctor, and he's the bastard son of Greta Garbo.
Who cares? He's a great writer.
Oh, Linda. A.J. Yanofsky was strictly a 60s phenomenon. Who needs that stuff now, all that stream of subconsciousness crap?
That's my time you're knocking, Curly. I was there.
And if he has started writing again, why would he send the manuscript to you?
Because, I knew him. Yeah, like we met. Hung around in Haight-Ashbury.
Oh. Cute little California flower children.
He told me once, Linda, I'm going to write the book of hell. I'll send it to you.
And 15 years later, he did.
Yeah. An incredible work. A sort of documentary, Eddie. First-person stuff.
You mean a rewrite of Dante's Inferno. Oh,
Dante had a theological wet dream, for God's sake. Yanofsky is hard-edged, relentless.
Yeah, great stuff. Sex, violence, and weird religion ought to make a mint.
Now.
Doc Gordon will love it.
I want to get Yanofsky on the phone right away.
Put them together and you clean up.
Too bad about A.J. He used to be honest, at least.
Andrew, you're starting to bore me. Get useful. Here's the number. Put it through for me while I check the mail, huh?
Is this number his agent?
No, his home in Mexico. The manuscript didn't come from an agent. Use the phone in my office.
Oh, well. Little diversion helps put in the day. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'll be promoted to Linda's assistant faster than I thought. Hello. May I speak to Mr. Yanofsky, please?
Tell him who wants to speak to him. He won't talk to just anybody.
Oh, thanks a lot. I beg your pardon?
Tell him Linda Ross. No.
I see. No, there isn't. Yeah. Thank you.
Let me talk. What the hell are you doing?
That was his wife.
Why'd you hang up?
A.J. Yanofsky died 2 years ago.
Si, senores. Yes, ladies, may I serve you?
I'll just have a black coffee, please.
Dos cafés solo, por favor.
Dos cafés solo. Very good, ladies. The coffee is just...
I hope you are enjoying Mexico, Miss Ross.
I am, thank you. Mrs. Yanofsky, I'm a direct person.
Good. So am I.
Sorry if I seem to pry, but I must know. How did your husband die?
He was eaten away, Miss Ross, from the inside. When there was more outside than inside, he died. In my arms, like kindling wood.
And you told no one?
Oh, the doctor, the undertaker. It was his wish. He wanted to keep the mystery. And I have kept it.
You must have loved him very much.
He needed me. Others may have needed him.
I guess I was one of those once.
It means nothing. Except for a man's vanity. But vanity, you know, means things that are in vain. At the end, he had only me.
Yes. I wanted to ask you, did he leave any other papers? Any notes or sketches?
That was all he left. Pieces. He became unable to... He could not put anything together. The drugs, you know.
Were they sketches for some particular work or...
Oh, no. Whatever came into his head.
May I see them later?
There's nothing to see. All burnt. He told me burn them.
Dos cafés solo. You like something to eat, señoras, ladies?
Estoy al régimen, señor.
Qué bonito, señora.
So there was no book?
No book.
But the typing. You said you recognized his machine.
Old typewriters have scars on some of the letters. He's had a crooked O.
Like fingerprints.
The manuscript is from my husband's typewriter.
Then we're getting warmer, surely.
But I sold it. I sell everything, so who knows what writer is using it now.
But the handwriting, the corrections, the signature on a letter, could those be faked?
What do you want me to say? That he came back from the dead.
No, I can't easily believe it.
The dead do not rise again.
There are mediums who say that they can take dictation from the spirit world. Have you experienced...
They take the credit, no? Forgive me, but such people work for money.
If the Book of Hell gets published, Mrs. Yanofsky, the money will come to you. Would you object to that?
I would not personally object, no. But that book will never be published.
Oh? You'd object on behalf of your husband?
Why should I? Obviously, he is trying to get it published.
Do you really believe that?
I believe only that life is mysterious.
Why do you think the Book of Hell...
It will never be published. Because it is probably true.
I don't like the typeface, Pete. And the paper stock looks flimsy.
You get what you pay for, Gordon.
You used to make better-looking books.
And you used to have a better class of writers. You want to upgrade the materials? Fine. But I'll have to upgrade the price.
And we both know I can't afford it. Buckram binding.
A thing of the past. Now it's paperbacks run off a newsprint.
Hmm. We go back a long way, Pete.
Yeah, sure do. My old man was your dad's printer.
I hate asking for credit, Pete, but I'm in a bit of a jam. Could you carry me for 6 months?
Sure, Gordon. No sweat.
All I need is one bestseller. Paperback rights in six figures. Maybe a film option.
Yep. Just one blockbuster. Where are you going to find it, Gordon? Gordon?
What do you want, Andy?
Alinda just phoned from New York.
Yeah?
Not a single major publisher has been offered a Yanofsky manuscript in 12 years.
What? How many people know about the Book of Hell?
You and me and Linda.
None of the secretaries?
I don't think so. No letters, no calls.
Where's the manuscript now? Did she leave it with you?
No. Took it with her. Just ran out, flagged a cab, and took her chances.
Well, the minute she gets back, have a photocopy made. No, you better make it yourself. We can't take chances.
Gordon, you sound as if you're going to buy it, and you haven't even read it.
Well, you haven't read it either. Why so superior? But
the notion of a real hell went out with the Flat Earth Society. Even the church calls it a figure of speech. We'd be the laughingstock of the scientific community.
Weird religion makes lots of money, remember?
Oh, I just don't follow you. You turn down a major work on the human condition and latch onto a hokey piece of pulp about hell.
I have an open mind.
You've got an open cash register.
Is anybody in a position to sue us?
What? Sue?
Could anyone stand up in court and call the writer a liar? Call the whole thing a hoax?
If that's all that matters to
me. Now listen. Nobody's to find out about this book. No one. When Linda gets back tomorrow, it's not to be discussed in this office.
Why the massive security?
We'll meet at my place or on a park bench if we have to, but not here. Yanofsky lived his whole life in secrecy.
Enhanced his charisma, I
guess. And secrecy, without the media messing things up, can buy us 3 months lead time. The Book of Hell just might be our salvation.
I keep telling you, Gordon, Yanofsky's wife doesn't want a contract. She's not a businesswoman.
A businesswoman, for God's sake, is a contradiction in terms. She's his executor, isn't she?
He didn't leave the book. It's just been written.
Oh, sure. Smuggled out of hell in a diplomatic pouch.
I can only tell you that's what Mrs. Yanofsky believes.
Well, that settles one thing. I don't have to pay any royalties. If there's no copyright, we could even rewrite the damn thing.
What?
Fake the fake.
Not when you've read it, Gordon, you won't.
I've been trying to get my hands on it. Where's Andy with that bloody Xerox?
He should be back any minute from the office.
I want to read it at home tonight.
If this is a fake, it may be harder to explain a hoax than... I mean, there are forces beyond... Oh, I don't know what I mean.
So I gather.
His wife made it all seem completely mysterious.
Am I getting you straight?
Oh, I need to get away from... to get some perspective.
All this documentary eyewitness stuff? You trying to tell me there are pens and typewriters in hell? And paper that doesn't burn? And a post office?
The post office even you could believe.
Yeah, it's probably the model for our mail service.
What I'm trying to say, Gordon, is that the usual marks of a fake are just not there. The Book of Hell isn't even a copy of Yanofsky's old style.
What about the detective stuff, the machine?
Sure, it's his old typewriter, but God knows who might have picked it up in a flea market.
And the handwriting.
How could a phony have forged it so meticulously, and why? Forgery is even less likely
than... Oh, come on, Linda. Feminine fantasy isn't going to solve anything.
Oh, bull.
So let's be logical. Either Yanofsky is still alive...
I've told you. He died in his wife's arms.
Or he's dead, she says. Were there any witnesses?
I've seen the grave.
You didn't dig him up, though?
No, I didn't dig him up.
Then it's unproven, as the Scots say. But as I started to say, either he's still alive, or it's got to be a fake.
Gordon!
Oh, here he comes like Roger Bannister. Andy, don't drop that briefcase.
Liz, I've been all around the park 3 times. Mm. Let's synchronize directions next time.
Sure, sure, sure. Meanwhile, I just want to read the damn manuscript before I bet my life on it. You got the Xerox?
Listen, I couldn't.
Give me the briefcase, Andy. But this is the original.
Where's the copy, for God's sake?
I'm trying to tell you. It won't Xerox.
What are you talking about?
I tried it on 3 different machines, and there's something weird. The sheets all come out blank.
Their knowledge of human anatomy is so complete that the worst tortures on earth cannot compare with the exquisite pain they inflict.
That's enough. Okay, play it back, Andy. That's bloody odd. Check the machine again. There's got to be an answer.
Yeah, I'll test it again. One, two, three, Apple Baker Charlie. Testing.
One, two, three, Apple Baker Charlie. Testing.
The Book of Hell won't photograph. And it won't record.
Where does that leave us?
The ink could be a chemical gimmick. Wouldn't Xerox? It's your voice reading, Linda.
I didn't take either. Yeah. So the mystery's in Yanofsky's words.
There are more things in heaven and earth.
Oh, save the scholarship, Professor.
Maybe if we try it again.
We came all the way out to my place to read the Book of Hell, so let's get on with it. Copies or no copies? Pick up where you left off, Linda.
The use of microorganisms, first to stimulate the frontal cortex of the brain, then to frustrate neurohormonal responses, sets up an alternating swing between hope and despair. One group of microbes arouses expectation in the control center, while another renders the receptor muscles unable to comply. These positive and negative forces locked inside care no more about their battleground than ravaging armies on Earth. You are... I am their Hiroshima. On my second day in Ward 7...
Go on.
What hideous torture.
Get yourself another whiskey. Go on, Linda.
On my second day in Ward 7, they began the injections. The first injection induced a high far beyond any I had ever experienced on Earth. It was as if I were being carried to the top of a demonic roller coaster and forced to look far below at the twisting track of terrors. The second injection plunged me down into an abyss. I thought frantically of escape, only to realize what a trap I was caught in. There was no escape from this insane cross-wiring. I was my own torturer. Shall I go on?
Makes a crazy kind of sense. Like a report from a madhouse.
A ticket on his own terms, if you can accept him. A day, for example, is his metaphor.
Metaphors you play with in our world. Look, all he does is talk about physical suffering, mental suffering.
Exactly.
In hell, you don't have a body or a mind. For God's sake, you have a soul. A lost one.
How do you know, Gordon? You're getting awfully metaphysical.
Well, to come back down to earth, I know when I hear a stoned nut describing hell from his hacienda in Mexico. He's got one hell of an imagination, that's all.
That is not all, Gordon. Dig deeper.
If he's got a body and a mind, he's not dead. And the last time I heard, you had to be dead to go to hell.
For what it's worth, he explains that.
Well, I for one can't wait to hear it.
I was then confined in a small cubicle made of what appeared to be mirrors. Though I knew I was dead, the excruciating pain contradicted me. Yet search as I might in the mirrors, there was nothing there. Thus, they drive home their most chilling lesson in damnation. If we do not exist, we must invent ourselves. With no body or mind left to torture, the soul must torture itself by recreating body and mind out of remembered fragments. I was to program my own inferno.
Good God.
Well, he certainly lost his mind.
Listen. In effect, my soul was a monstrous cancer, continually creating within itself the means of my destruction. A lost soul is one that no longer controls its own circuitry. The signal apparatus has been taken over by the enemy, which uses it to destroy me, to destroy you. The sensation is like spontaneous combustion.
Ah, I should have taken it off the hook.
Oh, let it ring.
Andy, take a message, would you? And leave it off the hook?
Yeah, okay, I'll get it.
Go on, Linda. Go on.
It is this control of the circuitry, this ability to send phantom signals to real bodies through their remembered images, like pins stuck in a doll, that gives hell its power on Earth. Hell is not a place, but a system for disrupting the plans of God.
Gordon, that was the police. Our warehouse just went up in flames.
You'll never get near it, Mr. McIntosh.
Can you save anything?
What isn't already burned will be soaked. Get that ladder out of there. Over to the right.
My whole life's work. What a bloody mess.
At least we moved the office downtown. Didn't lose everything.
Well, what can we do without stock? Without books to sell?
Well, there's insurance, isn't there?
Insurance.
Andy, that's hardly a consolation.
Don't push your luck, Andy. I've been pushing mine.
Reeler in the other way. Let's go.
Captain?
Yes, Mr. McIntosh.
Anything I can do for you?
Any idea what started it?
Well, a little early to tell. Faulty wiring, maybe.
No way. Completely rewired last year.
Any sign of arson, Captain?
Well, not so far, but that's unofficial.
There has to be a cause.
Books, you know, soak up moisture. Then heat sometimes. Could have been spontaneous combustion, an act of God.
Gordon, you still want to go ahead with the Book of Hell?
I don't know. What else have we got to push?
Half a dozen books in the fall list that just might
ease us gracefully downhill to bankruptcy. But why should we give up on the one sensational manuscript that might get us back in the race?
You still think the warehouse fire was a coincidence?
Linda, you are a lovely lady, an intelligent person, and a great editor.
In that order?
But you will never make me believe in ghosts.
Gordon, you're beginning to protest too much.
Extrasensory perception might be okay if we completely explored the five senses we already know about.
You need a license to preach in this park, you know.
Don't try to convert me to diabolism.
Obviously, the Book of Hell didn't do that.
Not what I've heard so far. I'm the only one who never gets to read it through. Where is it now?
Locked in my office.
Well, let's keep it there. So long as I'm legally clear as publisher, I don't give a damn who wrote it or where it came from.
We sort of gathered that.
A production like this has to be played very carefully. Kept under heavy wraps at just the right moment. And published with all the hype we can muster.
And what about the cold, hard looks in retrospect?
Backlash?
Or maybe just knowing grins all over the media.
By that time, we'll be heavily into foreign sales, translations, film rights, whole bundle.
Laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, by then, even the fire will seem like a godsend, like a brilliant publicity stunt.
So, Gordon, ever heard of hubris?
Hubris is contempt for God, Professor. I am prepared to show a little contempt for the devil.
That's all very daring, Gordon. But how are you going to print a facsimile of the Book of Hell if it won't photograph?
That reminds me. Gotta get back to the office and talk to Pete. He'll have to set the whole manuscript in type. When it's finally on press, I just hope it'll print.
Sure, Gordon. I don't see why not. If you got trouble getting photostats, we could set linotype and run it off letterpress. Well, just have to work out the costs. Hold on a sec.
Hey, Bill! What's that carton doing on the conveyor belt? It'll wreck the whole run!
You guys want to go somewhere for a cup of coffee?
Oh, I hate chicory.
And I hate funerals.
You didn't have to go to his funeral, did you?
I felt responsible, somehow.
You? What about me? The Book of Hell hadn't been sent to me in the first place.
Cut it out, both of you. It's nobody's fault. These things happen. Something just comes up with your number on it.
So, what do we do now?
Well, we can get another printer. Just a matter of booking press time.
Not if word of the book gets out. No one would touch it with a 10-foot pole. They'd say it was jinxed.
I hate to rub it in, but I was against it from the start.
Come on, Andy. You blew hot and cold the whole time.
I was skeptical at first, sure, but when drastic things began to happen...
Where is the Book of Hell? Is it still locked up in your office, Linda?
It's in my briefcase. Gordon,
I want to see it.
Gordon, please.
I've got to make the decision back at the office. I haven't had the damn book in my hands yet.
Be my guest, Gordon. The Book of Hell by A.J. Yanofsky.
Thanks. Now, let's see what a monstrous fake feels like. There's some sort of smell. Musty. Something acrid.
Good luck.
Because his book was destroyed?
Because Yanofsky dared to write it. Can you imagine the ghastly things they'll do to him now?
Linda, we've both read the Book of Hell. We're the only ones who know. What will they do to us?
You have just heard The Book of Hell by Maver Moore,
featured in tonight's cast were Bud Neff as Gordon, Nonnie Griffin as Linda, and Patrick Young as Andy, with Lynn Darragon as Mrs. Yanofsky, Hugh Webster as Pete, and Alan DeRamis as the fireman and the waiter. Our recording engineer is John Jessup, with sound effects by Bill Robinson. Our production assistant is Nina Callahan, and the series story editor is Earl Toppings. Nightfall is produced and directed for CBC Radio by Bill Howell.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Nightfall and the Book of Hell, as aired on March the 27th, 1981. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another exciting story from the series Theater 5. It's entitled Discotheque, and it was aired on January the 1st, 1965. And just note, folks, the title denotes something more sinister than music. You'll find out why it has to do with hell right now.
What is this place? Where am I?
Like, turn it on, man. Keep dancing.
How did I get here? How?
Keep dancing, man.
What am I doing here?
Keep dancing, man. Keep dancing.
Theater 5 presents Discotheque.
Jenny! Jenny! It's no use, Jenny. I know you're here somewhere. Jenny! I beg your pardon, sir. I'm trying to find my wife. I know she ran this way, and I... No, wait. Say, wait a minute. What all the nerve. Just ignored me and walked away. All the blazes with him. I've got to find her. Got to find my wife. Excuse me, madam. Could you help me? I'm looking for a woman. Well, she looks more like a girl. My wife. You see, I'm sure you remember her if you saw her. She... Oh, please don't turn away like that. Look, here's my card. My name is Ralph Wilson. I'm an investment counselor, a respected man in my... Oh, please, listen to me. What? Oh, what's the matter with all of you? Where am I? What city is this anyway? I'm so confused. Jimmy! I insist that you answer me! Jenny! 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 I gotta slow down. I'm exhausted. If only I could find a cab or something. No cabs. No cars at all. Where am I? I don't recognize anything. Row after row of tall buildings, as far as your eye can see. All the windows, dark and lightless. And these filthy, littered streets, completely empty. Oh, there's a little park over there. I'll sit down just for a second. I must sit down. Oh, that's better. That's better. What a dreary-looking park. Grass dead. No flowers. Junk and trash all over the place. Ugly, ugly city.
Hey.
Oh.
You got a match, man?
What?
Like a match, sweetie. You dig?
Young lady, who are you?
Shh. Cool it, man. They may be watching.
What are you talking about?
Cool it. You want some official to dig us making this scene together? Man, there's rules here.
Well, what rules? Where am I? What city is this?
Oh, man. Like I gotta split this place.
Oh, you come back here. I insist.
Don't you touch me.
Shh. Oh.
Watch the contact.
My hand. It's burned.
Square.
What happened? I only touched you and...
Oh, man, you don't dig, do you?
Dig?
No contact. No communication. Like the rules.
What rules? Who makes them?
Oh, man, like you don't make this scene regular, do you?
Well, I'm a stranger around here, if that's what you mean.
A stranger. This cat's found herself a stranger. Like right off the boat from Nowheresville.
I don't understand.
Like you're my ticket, Tiger. You're my one-way ticket. Like out of this scene. Like a chick finds herself a square that don't belong. She can maybe cut out. Split.
What?
Escape. You dig?
Young lady, you've got the wrong ideas about me.
Like I got a lot of ideas. My name's Wilma.
No, you don't understand. You see, I'm looking for my wife. Perhaps you saw her. She's a beautiful girl with long golden hair. She's a good deal younger than I am. I'm sure you remember her. She's a dancer. Well, what I mean to say, she always wanted to dance. You see, when she married me, I insisted that she forget all of... Oh, well, that's not important. What happened was that we had difficulties. You see, she ran away, but I found her, and I was bringing her back when... Well, I don't know. Suddenly, there was a terrible, terrible confusion. And she ran away from me again. I tried to follow, but somehow I lost her. However, I'm certain she's here someplace.
Hey, Tiger. You, like, forget that blonde chick. You got little old Wilma cat now. Man, it's getting dark. We could, like, split this scene so easy.
Get away from me.
Cool it.
I want nothing to do with you, do you understand?
Like anything you say. You're blowing solo on this set, man. Only...
Only what?
Like I just might know what scene a certain chick with long golden hair is making.
Ginny, you know where Ginny is? Now tell me.
This cat don't sing for free.
All right, what do you want?
Like when you take this chick back. You take me too.
Take? Well, that's impossible.
Like no deal? So long, swinger.
No, wait, come back. All right, it's a deal. I'll take you back with me. Now, where is she?
Dancing.
What?
Dancing. Over at Nick's place.
Nick's place?
Yeah, where the action is. Chicks like this Ginny always make it at Nick's.
Who's Nick?
He's the man, Tiger. And the man sits up on the platform and he spins the records. And that beat just goes on and on.
Beat?
And Nick's got himself a discotheque now, man. A swinging discotheque.
Discotheque? One of those crowded, jet-set dance halls? I never go to such places.
You want to locate your chick? You're going to make that scene.
Oh, very well. Take me there. But I insist that you be quick about it.
Like, wow. Come on. You follow behind me like you didn't know me, but had ideas.
What?
Nobody communicates around here. But like, we all got ideas. Like that's the lead sheet. Like that's the whole point. You dig?
What kind of a place is this? That music, it's enough to blast out your eardrums. And the heat. And smoke. Where's Ginny?
She'll show. Come on, Tiger. Turn it on. You're supposed to dance here. It's the rule.
Dance? You call that dancing? Everybody writhing their bodies about like tortured animals groping through a fog of heat and smoke. Moving alone as if each were in his own little agonized world. Why, it's indecent. And do they have to play the record so loud? Music blocks out everything. Thought, emotions, memory, everything.
Why, man, this is like where the action is.
Who's that fellow playing the records over there? I swear I've met him someplace.
Like that's Nick himself.
Perhaps he could help me. Excuse me, sir. Like,
You mean me, Clyde?
You know, I believe we've met someplace.
Like I'm Nick, Clyde. Like everybody knows Nick.
My name's Ralph. Ralph Wilson. You see, say, could you turn down the music a bit?
Clyde, you just don't dig.
I beg your pardon?
Like, welcome to Nick's discotheque, Clyde. Like it's the in-type scene to make down these parts.
These parts? Where are we?
Clyde, you find out for yourself. Dig?
Continue.
It just goes on, man. On and on.
Oh, this searing heat. And the smoke. Hideous. Cacophonous music. It's appalling.
Yeah? That's why you and me gonna split this scene. Gonna split for good. Come on, Tiger. Take me away from here. Old Nick ain't looking now. Take me back for good.
No. Until I find my wife. I've got to find Ginny.
Like, suppose your chick don't want to go back, man. What's the action then?
I'd want to go back. Why, I force her.
Like, wow. Tiger man strikes again.
You see, I do not tolerate disobedience. Ginny is a very weak-willed person. I've always had to make decisions for her. Why, she even tried to call off our wedding at the last minute. But I was firm.
Like, wow.
You see, my mother had planned a beautiful ceremony and reception for us. Ginny's parents are dead.
Man, like you got a mother-type character making the scene, huh?
My mother is a very fine woman. She's widowed. She lives with us. I don't know what I'd do without her.
Like, that's why this Ginny chick cut out on you, huh?
Of course not. Ginny's a child. A selfish, immature, beautiful child woman who needs to be guided. Controlled. I've had to push her into everything. Everything. Why, even buying a permanent home, can you imagine she wanted the two of us to live alone in expensive hotel rooms like a couple of gypsies? Oh, yes, romantic nonsense. Why, she didn't even want to have a child.
Man, this chick, she's got a kid?
We have a son, Robbie. He's 3 years old.
Man, like the chick's got to be pretty low to put out on her own kid. No wonder she's making this scene.
Well, what's being here got to do with that?
Like everything, man. Turn it on. Keep dancing. This Ginny chick, she ran off with some other cat?
No, nothing like that.
Like, wow, like I'm sorry I asked.
Well, yes. Yes, there were other men. All the disgrace, I terrible disgrace. Everybody knew, my friends, my poor mother.
Let Ginny go, man. Let that sad little chick go.
No, I know what's right for her. For us. No one else can have her. She's mine. I'll make her come with me if I have to force her. If I have to beat her. What's the matter? Why are you staring at me like that?
Wondering, man, why you ain't here yourself. Permanent.
What?
Oh, turn it on, man. Keep dancing.
Where is she?
She'll show.
Oh, I was so close to finding her. So close to having her for good. And then something happened. If only I could remember. I was so close, only 3 hours and 15 minutes away. I remember saying that.
Huh?
I remember. Wait a minute. That's it. 3 hours and 15 minutes. That was the time it was going to take for our journey home. Yes. Yes. Now I remember. It was a sunny, beautiful day. And the ground swept away from us as we soared upward. And then it clouded over, but the plane finally broke through the heavy overcast and we were landing.
Turn it on, man. Turn it on. Keep dancing.
And then Yes. It's all coming back. Suddenly the plane dropped, as if it were pulled down by some evil giant. I remember thinking that. And there was a horrendous noise. Oh, no. The screams, the people, the flames. And I called her name. Jenny. Jenny.
Turn it on, man. Turn it on. Keep dancing.
And then I saw her in the flames. And she laughed at me and started running. And I followed her. Jenny! Jenny! Oh, no.
Like now you're starting to dig, man.
Jenny, he's dead. You're all... And this place that I followed her to, this is... No!
Something bugging you, Clyde?
Nick?
Yeah. You got the message, Clyde.
Jenny, where are you, Jenny?
Like, is that the chick you're trying to find? Over there?
Where?
Like over there, Clyde. Way over where I'm pointing. See, through the heat and the smoke? You see? Dancing all alone? Like she's making it solo?
Jenny, I've got to get you out of here. Jenny, speak to me.
Do I know you, mister?
Jenny! Jenny, stop dancing like that, I insist. You're my wife, and I'll not have you making those vulgar gyrations.
I never saw you before, mister.
That dance! That indecent, obscene, lonely dance! Stop it!
I can't, mister. Please, go away.
You better stop bugging this chick, Clyde. This chick ain't having nothing but the big D.
I can't believe it.
That's the way it is, Clyde. That's the way it is.
I see. And this is what it all comes down to, eh? A sweltering discotheque. And a dance that never ends.
That's the way it is, Clyde. Like old Nick. He never runs out of records.
It never ends. Not for all eternity. The beat keeps going. And the bodies continue to move, writhing, grasping, and all the time desiring, but there's no contact. That's the punishment, isn't it? No human contact.
Like, if you never made it back there, Clyde, you don't expect to make it here.
Well, I'm getting out.
Oh, you want to split, Clyde? So split. You'll be back sooner or later.
No, never. I'm getting out of here, and I'm never coming back. Jenny, take my hand.
Clyde. Like the chick stays.
I'm taking her with me.
Like the chick stays.
Get out of my way. I've got my hands on you now, Jenny. You're mine.
My hands. My arms. They're on fire. I'm burning.
Like the chick stays.
Oh. No, I won't release her. She's mine.
Burning.
Like the chick stays.
Burning.
Oh, he's in pain, Doctor. My poor darling son is in pain.
Mrs. Wilson, please. We're doing all we can to make him comfortable. Oh. He's delirious. The poor man thinks he's in hell or something. Burning. He's still burning. Feeling the flames from the crash. Well, the important thing is that we've pulled him through. He'll live.
Live? But what kind of a life will it be, so terribly scarred and burned? Oh, if only he didn't try to go back for her.
Mrs. Wilson, she was his wife.
She was a hussy, a no-good hussy who obsessed my darling boy. Well, she got what was coming to her. Was there any chance of saving her?
No. She died instantly.
Bernie. There. There, my darling. Bernie. You still have your mother. I'll always look after you.
No, I think we'd better leave him. I'll let you know the minute he regains consciousness. Oh, Miss Barrows. He's still delirious, but there should be no further trouble through the night. I want you to stay close to him.
Yes, sir.
This way, Mrs. Wilson.
Cool it, Tiger. Listen to Nursie and cool it.
You. Go away. Go away.
Oh, no. You ain't never gonna shake me, swinger. So you better cool it while you still can. Because someday you're gonna make that discotheque scene again. And old Nick, he's got lots of records all lined up for you. You dig?
Has presented Discotheque, written by Romeo Muller, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, George Petrie, Evelyn Juster, Larry Haynes, Constance Parker, Ethel Rennie, and Jeff David. Audio engineer Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Ted Bell. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
Well, folks, that was Theater 5, and Discotheque has aired on January the 1st, 1965. We're almost done. Now we have a 2-minute clip. From the show Nightmare, it's called AD, I guess that means ad, Electrocuting the Wife. So sit back and enjoy this strange clip.
You hate her, don't you? You'd like to see her die, wouldn't you? Well, come on, then. Don't be a milquetoast. Kill her. You ought to be able to think of a way. Surely all the reading you've done, all those fine mystery stories ought to suggest something. The only trouble was those people always got caught. Little bunglers, though. You're not. You're smart. Just pick a method and eliminate all the mistakes. Take it easy now. Don't get all nervous before you even make up your mind. Sit down in the easy chair. Light your pipe. That's it. Now sit back and look at the pictures and the smoke. See all the little things you hate about her. The way she dresses. No poise. So stupid. Colorless little wretch. So everydayish. So secure in her dull little world. She doesn't ever want to leave it. How did a man like you ever get hooked up with her? Oh, well, everyone makes mistakes. Let's see if we can't eradicate this one. Hate her a little more. Then what you have to do won't be so hard. You want to smother her in your hate. Horrid little creature, why should she be there to keep you from all the things you want? Hate her more, insipid little creature. Hate her, hate her! There now, I think you're in fine shape. You can plan how to do it. Now, let's see, something very ingenious. Something in the house. Electricity, that's it, like in that story you read last night. Now, let's see, you'll run a wire to the handle of the refrigerator so that when she gets her orange juice in the morning, she gets the final shock of her life. Yes, it could be done. All the directions were in the story. We'll strip a little insulation from the box and wire the handle from the inside. Then a small hole to run the wire to the high voltage connection. Huh? Now that you've got it, go out and get that can of beer from the icebox. Not much of an afternoon without a beer. Besides, it's an occasion for a little drink. Look at that handle. Just think what'll happen in the morning when she touches it. Well, open it up yourself.
Okay, tell his wife she can cut the grief-stricken out. That refrigerator was wired to kill him when he touched it. She hid the wires well enough, but she forgot to hide this mystery story with all the directions in it. I'm afraid she's due for a shock.
This has been Nightmare, a bedtime story for folks who like to dream violently. Be with us tomorrow for another tale of horror, mystery, or suspense. A story as short and terrifying as a nightmare.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording. And for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.
Hello there, folks. Why am I saying hello, even though I'm closing out Michael's Saturday Surprise? Because I think you all need a happy hello for suffering this journey of hell and its powers. Now you can take a drink, put on some nice relaxing music, sing in the shower, and forget all about the hell you had to go through. Let's hope you never have to go through it when you die. The last show you just heard was Nightmare Ad Electrocuting the Wife. So, don't worry about any of these fantastic stories. Just be glad you weren't bored to death. Peace out, my good friends. Happy Halloween. And keep on shoogling.
Thank you, Max. I am going to take it from here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come where, you know, I have to do what I do best, and that is shut things down and wrap things up for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But please, I beg you, I implore you not to worry, because we will be back again next week with another set of OTR surprises waiting to be released and launched on the World Wide Web for your listening enjoyment. As usual, if you have any questions, comments, you know, requests, or maybe even a complaint or two, please address them via email to micamelli@earthlink.net. That's micamelli@earthlink.net. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, we would like to thank you for joining us here tonight. And remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, me, Dan, and Mad Max will be coming after you. Have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.